Giving up his surface tactics, he went down again to stay. Dee tried to pull him out. The stout pole cracked and then broke. But the line was tied below the break, so King Solomon was still fast. I didn't believe he could be landed from where we were. But Dee had an idea. "You just hold this pole for a while," he said. Slipping off his overalls, he dived in. He was gone a long time, so long that I caught myself holding my breath. Then he popped up. He was paddling with his right hand and holding onto the line with his left. I knew by the way his left arm was darting about that he still had King Solomon. "Just drop the pole in," he spluttered. "I'm going to swim across with him." Dubiously, I obeyed. The boy swam on his side with a strong scissors kick. Occasionally, I could see a flash of white beside him. That was King Solomon showing his belly, all tired out. I watched Dee scramble up the shallow bank with his fingers through King Solomon's gill flap and go to the spring, where he deposited his catch and threw himself down for a well-earned rest. I picked up my rod and Dee's clothes and crossed over to him. He was lying on his side with his head propped up on one hand while he stared into the spring pool. There was King Solomon, also lying on his side and breathing hard. He was beaten so far as the score was concerned, but not by any means in spirit. He glared at us out of one amber-rimmed, defiant eye. "Well," I remarked inanely, "you caught him." "I reckon I did," Dee said, "but I wouldn't have if you hadn't made him hungry with that pretty thing of yours.